about anything but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thank you for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for joining us. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God as we read first a passage from the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, a fairly well-known verse. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, actually verses 13 and 14. Again, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, and they tell us these words. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Let me read those two verses again. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. When I shut up heaven, and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Then looking briefly at a passage in the New Testament, the book, the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Again, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, and it tells us these words of wisdom. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water," and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now." Again, the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Father, we thank you for your word, and thank you for the many ways that your word teaches us. It equips us, it guides us, it directs us, it empowers us, does all of this and so, so much more. Help us to grow each and every day in our love for your word and our commitment to reading and meditating on your word. And more empower us by the power of your word to be a people who live lives given to prayer, a people who recognize the great need for us to live and walk and make the journey of life on our knees, looking to you continually in big ways and little ways and all the in-between ways, recognizing the great need for us to live a life filled with prayer, and to be the church you've called us to be, living and existing and functioning, a lifestyle given to prayer. Thank you for that opportunity. Lord, more and more help us to be reminded that you told us that your house will be called a house of prayer. And we, your people, are to be a people who live lives full of prayer as well. Teach us, guide us, empower us to be the people of prayer you've called us to be. We love you, we bless you, we praise you, we thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for being a part of our listening family. And today, as we look into the Word of God, we want you to keep in mind a very important point to consider in view of all that we see going on in our nation and in our world today. There's such a need for the church to recognize the call of God to seek Him in prayer. All of us, as God's people, are called to be a people given to prayer. You know, sometimes we may make the mistake of thinking, well, there are a few select believers who are supposed to be believers that spend a lot of time in prayer. Every believer is called to live a life full of prayer. And if we're wise, we'll be faithful to do just that. The fact is, there's so many things in our walk with God, our day-to-day lives, that will only work if we live lives that are full of prayer. Because, again, remember this, prayer is many things. And I want you to keep in mind, probably none of us have a good definition of prayer, because the way prayer is really defined is so much broader than often we think of it. Prayer, yes, prayer is talking to God. It's listening to God. It's communing with God. It's walking in close fellowship relationship with God. Jesus' whole life was a prayer. So, but remember, every day, if we're wise, we will always, always, always remain in the school of prayer. The president of the University of Prayer is God, our Heavenly Father. The dean and the chief professor is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is our divine tutor. And the Word of God is our textbook. But if we're wise, we'll remain in the school of prayer all our life long and never, ever graduate. Why? Because there's always more we can be learning about how to pray more effectively, how much more will God will do in us and through us as we live lives given to prayer. And may we recognize the great need for us to be individual believers, men of God, women of God, godly dads, godly moms, godly husbands, godly wives, godly children in the home. And that happens largely as we live lives where we're continually in touch with God through a close and intimate walk with Him in prayer. So remember this, if we're serious disciples, we need to live lives given to prayer every single day, not just from time to time, not just when things aren't going well in your life or in your family's life or just in the community, in the nation, the world. We need to live lives given to prayer anyway, because if you want to walk in intimate fellowship with God, you've got to be a person given to prayer. That's just a given. That has got to be a vital part of your day-to-day lifestyle. So it's the Holy Spirit that teaches us to pray, and He's also the engine behind prayer. He's the one that guides our prayer life. So it's so, so very important. The passage that we read a few moments ago is a very familiar passage that often you may hear it in times of national crisis, but keep in mind, it's a powerful and an important scripture to remember to live by and to function by its wisdom as well. Again, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I read verses 13 and 14. Now, often when the verse is read, it's read simply verse 14, but it's good to read the verse before as well, because that helps broaden the context that you're reading it from. But again, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now keep in mind, this is a verse with much, much wisdom and insight about God, our relationship with God, and also walking with God to be found. Really analyze what God is saying. Now notice we're beginning in verse 13. It says, when I shut up heaven, in other words, God in His sovereignty sometimes may do just that, shut up heaven, shut up the blessings that may flow from heaven, and that there's no rain, obviously rain and other things as well, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. God allows things, difficulty to come our way sometimes because of the sin in the land, because of difficulty or problems that we've brought on ourselves. God allows things to happen sometimes in His grace and in His love and in His mercy. Many times those are the things that help remind us of the fact that without God, we can't do anything. Without God, we're helpless. Without God's help, we don't really know what to do. Verse 14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. Note four specific things God states for His people. He's wanting His people to do. Notice what it says in verse 14. Again, if my people who are called by my name will, number one, humble themselves. What does it mean to humble yourself? Well, it's very helpful to really understand what it means to be humble or to walk in humility. Again, remember, real humility is not walking around with keeping your eyes cast to the ground, looking like a whipped puppy. That's not necessarily humility at all. Humility is submission to the word of God. It's submission to the will of God. It's submission to the Spirit of God. Basically, humbling yourself to seek God, to keep your face and your focus on God, and to follow God no matter what. So to humble ourselves is to turn away from the things of the world and to turn toward God, to turn our time, our energy, our lives, our focus on God, the will of God, and seeking His will and following His will as well. So to humble ourselves, we have to turn away from the things of the world and turn afresh our hearts and our minds, our lives back to God. We'll humble themselves and pray. A part of humility is giving yourself to prayer. Remember this. A prayerful life is a life of humility. A genuine prayerful life, a genuinely prayerful life is a lifestyle of humility. To be prayerless is to live a life of pride. Basically, pride carries the attitude of, I can do it myself. It's as if pride is saying to God, God, I don't really need your help. I can handle this. So to be prayerless is to be a prideful person. Now, sometimes a person may say, well, no, I'm a humble person and I follow the Lord, but I just don't have a whole lot of time to pray. What a silly thing to say. We have time for what we want to have time for. And if we're wise, we will make time to pray. Humility will lead us and encourage us to give ourselves to prayer. Pride, basically, is that which tells us and we tell ourselves, I don't really need to pray. Now, sometimes you may not say it with your mouth. You may not even think it. But if we live a prayerless life, that's pride. Now, you may think, well, I don't see it that way. Well, then you're just wrong, because that's what it is. If you live a prayerless life, it's pride behind it, because it's pride that says, I can handle this. God, I got it. Don't worry about it. I'll deal with it myself. And what a foolish way to live. If we're wise, we'll live our lives given to prayer each and every day. So again, we're told, number one, humble ourselves. Number two, humble ourselves and pray. And thirdly, seek my face. Now, how do you seek the face of God? How do you seek the face of God? Well, again, it relates back to the command just before then, and pray. One of the ways we seek the face of God is in prayer. But also another way we seek the face of God is through the reading and studying and meditating on of God's word. We seek God's face as we seek him in his word as well as in prayer. So we seek God through seeking. When you read and meditate on the word of God, when you study the word of God, you really give time and energy and attention to his word. That's another way to seek the face of God. Also, you seek the face of God by doing what his word says. You know, if we read the word of God on a regular basis, but we ignore it, we're not seeking the face of God like we should. It's tragic when that happens, but some blatant examples of that are in our society today. One of the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not kill. Proper translation, you shall not take innocent life. Part of what that means is it's wrong to kill human beings, whether they're in the womb or whether they're grown. But we live in a society where people's lives are being taken in many different contexts, being shot, being killed with violence, being killed by terrorists, babies being killed in the womb. Well, again, that's a violation of God's word. It's innocent life being taken. It's important that we pay attention to what God says. Humble ourselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. We've got to turn away from the evil things we see going on around us. We'll pick up on the other side of the break with that further. Lord, thank you again for your word. Thank you for the chance for us to hear and obey your word. More and more, help us to be a people that take your word seriously. Help us to be a people that every day of our lives, we're taking your word, your will, and what your spirit tells us very, very seriously. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're listening to The Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We'll be right back.
Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. Over 80 people killed, at least 10 of them children, at the Bastille Day Massacre in Nice, France. The murderer used an explosives and weapons-laden transport truck to mow down the gathered crowd during a 30-minute rampage. Reports show the French-Tunisian ISIS fanatic zigged and zagged over the roadway as he plowed through as many people as he could before being shot by French policemen. ISIS celebrated the massacre. We must get serious about destroying Islamic terrorism because the jihadis have shown that they are serious about killing the kafirs.
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Can you imagine how David felt as a young lad just waiting to become king? Samuel had anointed him years before the promise ever came to pass. In fact, in his wait, the anointing had already left Saul and had rested on David, giving him the authority to take his rightful place. David could have easily helped God out with timing when Saul went into the cave to relieve himself, not knowing that David and his men were hiding in the cave. But that would have been outside the will of God. God's got his own time to do what he wants to do in our lives. He sees the complete picture when we can only see what's happening in front of us at that moment. One good lesson to learn is that we can never rush the will of God for our lives. David waited patiently to become king because he knew that he could trust God. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So the next time you have an urge to help God, help you just wait. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Max Licato here with a word about joy, reminding you that the Bible tells us to rejoice, to be glad, to lift our voices in song. Now, people often mistake happiness as a synonym for joy. They're not the same. Happiness depends on circumstances. If I get a new car, a raise, or the best golf score I've ever shot, I'm happy. But joy or gladness, that comes from within. It's not something transitory or manufactured. Remember that little tune from Bye Bye Birdie? Words begin, gray skies are gonna clear up, put on a happy face, brush off the clouds and cheer up, put on a happy face. But what if those clouds get darker? And sometimes they do. Remember, joy is not based on the condition of the clouds in the sky. It's based on the condition of the gift of God to you. That's joy.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace. When fears are stilled, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in hell, let's obey this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross that Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. I live. I live. Oh, there in the ground his body. In glorious day, up from the grave.
You're listening to the music of Anthony Evans, the song In Christ Alone. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. And today we're looking at the topic of the call to seek God in prayer. And of course, we're living in a day and time in which there's a great, great need for every believer listening to take prayer so much more seriously, because the fact is, there's situations and things we see going on right now that nobody can fix but God. No one can fix them but God. Now, the fact is, there are lots of people out there that can tell you what the problems are, lots of people that can analyze what's going on, and they can explain what in their minds is the cause of them. But the fact is, the only one that can fix these problems is God. And the need is for us as the people of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, to take leadership in leading and encouraging one another and taking time to pray. Two things we need to do. We need to pray ourselves, we need to pray, and we need to encourage others to pray as well. And the fact is, remember, every believer, whether you realize it or not, is a leader. And you have influence in your own sphere. If you're an individual person, then there are people that you know. You can call them up on the phone and say, hey, let's pray for our country. Let's pray for our president and the vice president, the administration. Let's pray for our Supreme Court. Let's pray for the police in our local community. Let's pray for God's blessing and protection upon law enforcement. Let's pray for peace and harmony between people and people groups and racial groups, and pray for God to bring healing and wholeness where it's needed. We can pray, and we can encourage others to do it as well. Why not invite people over to your house and say, hey, let's come together and pray? You know, we invite people over to come and eat. We invite people to come over and watch ball games. Why not invite people to come over and pray? Now, some might be scared. Well, if I invite them to come pray, ain't nobody going to come. Well, invite them anyhow. In this day and time, wise believers are going to make it a high priority to pray, because, again, remember, when we work, but when we pray, God works. And remember, there are lots of things in life that the only one that can fix them is God. The only one that can fix them is God. And so there's such a great need for us as God's people to really take prayer seriously. So looking once again at 2 Chronicles chapter 7, again, verse 14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Again, note the things God specifically says in verse 14. He says, if my people, that is we who are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives, we're the people of God. We are God's people. So God is talking about us here. If my people who are called by my name, we the church are the people who are called by the name of God, will humble themselves, again, to humble ourselves, to turn away from the world, and to keep our focus, to put our focus on God. That's a part of humbling ourselves. And pray. A part of humbling ourselves is giving ourselves to prayer, seeking God in prayer. And the next portion, seek my face. How do we seek God's face? Through prayer, through spending time reading the Word of God, and living out what the Word of God says. Those are parts of their aspects of seeking God's face. And turn from their wicked ways, turning away from evil. Turning away from things we know to be wrong. Turning away from things that are against the word and the will of God. And that's a part of why it's so important for us to be believers that are reading and meditating on God's word. Because sometimes people can be involved in things that are wicked, But if they're not reading the Word of God, in their minds, the things they're doing may not be wicked at all. In fact, sometimes they may think, I like doing this. I enjoy this. Well, the fact is, even if you call yourself a believer, but if you're involved in activities that go against the Word and the will of God, no matter what title you may carry, you are wrong and you're walking in wickedness. Now, you may ask, well, can a believer walk in wickedness? Sadly, it happens every day. Anything that goes against the Word and the will of God, again, that's wicked, that's dark, it's against the Word and the will of God, and you don't want to find yourself as a believer walking in a direction that is against the will of God. That's not smart. That's not wise. In fact, that's a pretty foolish thing to do. But sadly, every day, too many people that say they're believers do just that, are involved with things that are against the will of God, but because they're not grounded in the Word of God or aren't reading or really paying attention to the Word, they may find themselves opposing God. And people that oppose God fall in the category of what you call fools, okay? You don't want to be in the category of being a fool. So get on God's side. There are only two sides. It's God's side and everybody else that's against God. And you need to get on God's side. And obviously, again, unbelievers they're not on God's side. But sadly, you have, again, those persons that say they're believers will sometimes find themselves opposing God because they're not reading and paying enough attention to God's word to correct themselves. That's happened throughout history. Sadly, it's happening too often today. We as God's people have got to be diligent students of God's word, reading it and paying attention to what it says. You don't want to find yourself on the side that's opposing God. And there are too many people that say they're believers today that are doing just that because they're not grounded in the Word of God. It's important for us to know what's right, what's wrong, what honors God, what dishonors God. Remember, God's Word is our guidebook. It's a guidebook. It helps us in so, so many ways. And so stay in the Word. Be guided by the Word. And let your greatest allegiance be to God and His Word. If you're more committed to anything else other than the Word of God and the will of God, again, you're going in the wrong direction. If you're more committed to your political party or your race or your organization, your group, than you are to God's Word, you're as wrong as two left shoes and worse than that. Remember, our greatest allegiance is to be to God and the Spirit of God and the Word of God. No one else should usurp that important place of authority in our lives. God's Word has got to be the bottom line. If we genuinely love God, the Word of God has to be the bottom line. So when you have believers that say that they think abortion's okay, they're wrong. They're walking in wickedness, they're being evil, and they're working for Satan. The fact is you can't oppose the Word of God and honor God. That just doesn't work at all. So we've got to understand that the Word of God helps us discern what's right, what's wrong? What honors God? What doesn't honor God? When people accept lifestyles, wicked lifestyles, and say they're okay, even if that person says they're a believer, the fact is if you go against what the Word of God says, you're walking in darkness. You're walking in wickedness. Remember, the Word of God is what helps you stay in the right path. We've got to be discerning enough to be students of His Word who are listening to the Word of God and the Spirit of God in the way we decide and the things we decide. And the decisions we make. So then once again, looking at that verse 14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. So those four things, if we'll humble ourselves, number 1, number 2, pray, 3, seek the face of God, and 4, turn from their wicked ways, God says, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and heal their land. God will do those three things. He'll hear us from heaven. He'll hear our prayers. He'll forgive us for all the sin we've done, and He will bring healing and wholeness to our land. Thank you, Lord, for every believer, every individual listening. Thank you for the opportunity for us to recognize the fact that you have the answer. All the problems, all the trials, all the difficulty going on in our nation, Lord, you are the answer to all these problems. You yourself can bring healing and wholeness where there's so much division hatred and misunderstanding and anger amongst people, death and strife and difficulty going on. Lord, you're the answer to all of it. You are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. You're Jehovah Rapha, our healer. You're El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. You are our peace. You are our shalom. You are, again, the one who causes it to be so that there's nothing missing, nothing broken. Thank you for being our shalom, our God of peace, Lord. Father, more and more, touch our land. Help us to repent. Help us to humble ourselves. Help us to seek your face in prayer. And Lord, help us to fully give ourselves to you. Father, thank you for every listener. Lord, anoint us all afresh with the spirit of humility. Anoint us all afresh with the spirit of prayer. And help us to just make time to really pray much for our nation. Help us to make time to pray much for our government. Help us to make time to pray much for the upcoming election. Help us to make time to just to really seek you in every area of our lives, and help us to spend much time in prayer. Lord, help us to learn to turn off the television, to turn off the put the cell phone down, and to turn off the MP3 player, turn off all lots of these electronic gadgets, and help us to take time to seek your face, to spend time with you in prayer, to spend time with you reading and meditating and thinking on your word, to spend time living what you've told us to do in your word. Help us to know, Lord, that as we seek your face, so many problems will be alleviated as you pour out your spirit upon our nation and bring the healing that we desperately desire, that we desperately need, that only you can give. Lord, more and more, open our eyes and our understanding to the fact that people and politicians and just those thinkers out there, they don't have the answers. Help us more and more to see you are the answer to all of these issues, all of these concerns. And move upon us more and more as your church to really come together in prayer. Father, raise up more and more church congregations that will make extra time to come together as a church family to pray. That we'll have days of prayer and seasons of prayer and events of prayer where we come together to pray, knowing that again, Lord, only you can heal all this. Thank you, Lord, for being a heavenly Father that is always, always the answer to all these kinds of issues, these concerns, these kinds of problems. We love you. We bless you. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. And as we just stated, again, I want to encourage you to make prayer a greater priority in your life. I want to encourage you as dads and or moms to take time with your families. If you have young children, bring them together to pray, because, again, the prayers of children and adults all are important. And turn off some of the electronic things and just spend extra time every day praying more for our nation, praying for the upcoming election, praying for your local communities, praying for your local police departments as well. All of these are matters, important matters of prayer. Father, right now, thank you, Lord, for all of our local law enforcement. Thank you for police and sheriff's departments and law enforcement all over our nation. Father, pour out your spirit of grace, mercy, and protection upon them in the name of Jesus. Engulf them with your Holy Spirit. We plead the blood of Jesus over all of our law enforcement. Lord, more and more, keep them safe from danger and evil and harm. And raise up many more churches that will pray much for those in law enforcement. And Father, more and more, pour out your spirit of healing upon our nation. More and more, let your healing grace work amongst groups and individuals who have hatred and anger amongst them that are causing so much havoc in our land. Let your spirit of shalom rest mightily upon us in much greater measure. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Be right back.
Parenting is a multifaceted challenge, and it's important that our kids know our values.
Equip yourself as a parent with resources from the AFA Cultural Institute and parenting expert John Rosemond. These four DVDs on biblical parenting address the issues of discipline, seasons of parenting, the folly of modern child psychology, and raising teenagers. You'll find all the resources of the AFA Cultural Institute at afastore.net.
Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day. Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk. Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day. Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk.
The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
I am proud to say that I am not an African-American, I am an American!
Tune in to Urban Family Talk. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening.
Dr. Tony Evans says, since we have two eyes that point in the same direction, what we see is determined by what we decide to look at. It sounds obvious, but we'll learn an important lesson today about the power of perspective as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Two hunters saw in the newspaper a bounty. $5,000 for every wolf. So they went out deep into the forest. In the middle of the night, one of the men was awakened by a sound. There was a whole group of wolves surrounding the tent, salivating, prepared for the kill. The man, when he saw that he was surrounded, shook his friend and said, John, get up. We're rich. You see, your perspective will determine what you see. God wants you to shift your perspective about what you may be going through, what wolves are at your door nipping at your life that creates fear, frustration, and all the other things in life that cause us to be cast down. And God has a specific thing to help you address the wolves in your lives. God says, before you throw in the towel, throw up a prayer. Prayer that is relational communication with God is the link that God has provided every one of his children with which to make contact with him. It is his communication mechanism that brings the two realms, the spiritual and the physical, together. That's the point of contact.
For an in-depth look at God's perfect model of prayer, check out Tony's teaching series, The Lord's Prayer. Available online at tonyevans.org. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Receive his love today.
Brothers and sisters, lend me your ear. Be of good courage, be of good cheer. I hope you find comfort in these words I say. This perfect love is on you today. This perfect love is on you today. If there is sunshine,
music of Fred Hammond, the song His Perfect Love. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Today we've been looking at the topic of the call to seek God in prayer. And again, we live in a day and time in which there's a great need for the people of God all over our land, individually and collectively, to come together to pray much for the healing of our nation, for the healing of our communities, the healing of our culture. And remember, time and time again, in times like this, only God can fix certain problems. None of us have it in us, in and of ourselves, to do it. Politicians can't do it. Just preachers and individuals and even leaders in the church, in and of ourselves, we can't do it. Some things only God can heal, only God can fix. And as we seek God in prayer, we'll see the hand of God move time and time again. When we do what God says, when we humble ourselves and pray and seek His face and turn from our wicked ways. Let me remind you, if you'd like to get some of the prayer tools that we often sometimes, please email us and let us know. We'd like to send them to you because they're good tools to help you jumpstart your prayer life as an individual believer. If you're wanting to just to seek God more in prayer, these are just tools that can help to, as I said, jumpstart your prayer life. Tools you can use as a couple, as husbands and wives together. Tools you can use as families, parents praying with your children as well. And these are tools you can use in your church setting, but make it your goal to decide that you're going to give yourself more to prayer, because it's through God's people praying that more and more we see the hand of God move in our land. Remember, when we work. When we pray, God works. Again, when we work, but when we pray, God works. When we understand the need for us to live lives given to prayer, more and more we'll see God's hand move in greater ways to bring the healing our nation so desperately needs. Remember, even Jesus himself referred to the house of God as being a house of prayer. What does that mean? That means many things, but amongst other things, it means that prayer is to be a high priority and a huge priority in the life of the church. And so when prayer has such a small part, then we're off track. We've forgotten what we're to be about and what one of our great priorities is to be, a life individually and collectively given to prayer. I want to share with you a passage, a powerful passage found. Oh, let me share with you once again that email. If you'd like to get some of the prayer tools, my email is jparker@afa.net. Again, jparker@afa.net. And we have several prayer tools we'd be glad to email to you to help you and your family, your church family, again, to jumpstart your prayer life. Be glad to send them to you. Again, jparker@afa.net. Let us know you'd like to get the prayer tools. We'd be glad to send them to you. In the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, it tells us these words. After this, the armies of the Moabites, Ammonites, and some of the Mennonites declared war on Jehoshaphat. Messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army from Edom is marching against you from beyond the Dead Sea. They are already at Hazazon Tamar." This is another name for En-Gedi. Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news and begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. Jehoshaphat stood before the community of Judah and Jerusalem in front of the new courtyard at the temple of the Lord. He prayed, "O Lord, God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you. O our God, did you not drive out those who lived in this land when your people Israel arrived? And did you not give this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? Your people settled here and built this temple to honor your name. They said, whenever we are faced with any calamity such as war, plague, or famine, we can come to stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored. We can cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us and rescue us. And now see what the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir are doing. You would not let our ancestors invade those nations when Israel left Egypt, so they went around them and did not destroy them. Now see how they reward us, for they have come to throw us out of your land, which you gave us as an inheritance. O our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for help. As all the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, wives, and children, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there. His name was Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jael, son of Mattaniah, a Levite who was a descendant of Asaph. He said, "Listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march out against them. You will find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jeruel. But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you." Then King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites from the clans of Kohath and Korah stood to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout. Early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, "Listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed." After consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sang: "Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever." At the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. The armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. After they had destroyed the army of Seir, they began attacking each other. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one in the enemy had escaped. King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder. They found vast amounts of equipment, clothing, and other valuables, more than they could carry. There was so much plunder that it took them 3 days just to collect it all. On the fourth day, they gathered in the Valley of Blessing, which got its name that day because the people praised and thanked the Lord there. It is still called the Valley of Blessing today. Then all the men returned to Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat leading them, overjoyed that the Lord had given them victory over their enemies. They marched into Jerusalem to the music of harps, lyres, and trumpets, and they proceeded to the temple of the Lord. When all the surrounding kingdoms heard that the Lord himself had fought against the enemies of Israel, the fear of God came over them. So Jehoshaphat's kingdom was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. Verses 1 through 30, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now that's a powerful story found in the Word of God, and I want to encourage you, take time to go back and read 2 Chronicles chapter 20 again, and then read it again, and then read it again, because there are many, many important life lessons for every believer found in this powerful, powerful story. Thank God for a wise and a God-fearing king named Jehoshaphat, because in his wisdom and in the grace of God working on and in his life, he was wise enough in a time of national crisis to call the people of God together to pray. He called them together to fast and pray. What a wise leader. Because when leaders are wise enough to call people together to pray, to fast, and to seek the face of God, that's the wisest kind of leader in the world, because he's a leader that recognizes in his humility and his wisdom that God is the one that can help fix problems and bring healing and help in times of need in the life of an individual, in the life of a family, in the life of a community, and in the life of a nation. Again, let's pray that God will raise up more and more leaders like Jehoshaphat that will seek him in prayer. And remember, his prayer is such a powerful one. Just to summarize and just to give a part of it, he prays to God, and part of his prayer, basically, in that prayer, he says to God, "God, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you." How important it is that we as the people of God learn to pray that way. Lord, thank you again for the wonderful story found here in 2 Chronicles 20 about King Jehoshaphat and the nation of Judah when they sought you in fasting and in prayer at a time of national crisis. Father, move upon us as a nation to humble ourselves, to fast, to pray, and to seek you in prayer in this time of national crisis where we see the spirit of death and killing and the spirit of wickedness trying to run rampant in so many ways and in so many circles and in so many corners of our nation, where it appears that in many ways trouble seems to be found at every side and on every turn. But Lord, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Lord, you're bigger than all these problems. You're more powerful. You stand far above all these issues, these concerns, these challenges, these storms. Father, we lift ourselves up to you as a nation. Lord, flood our nation with your mercy. Flood our nation with your grace. Flood our nation with your light. Father, touch us. Help us to repent of the wrong we've done. Help us to seek your face and more move upon your people to give ourselves to prayer, seeking your guidance, your face, your will, your way of doing things. Thank you for that opportunity. And guide us more and more to be the people you've called us to be. Father, raise up many individuals and individuals that will take time to pray for safety and blessing upon law enforcement, upon police departments and sheriff departments and law enforcement in general, highway patrol and others who serve you. And Lord, more and more raise up churches and prayer groups that will pray much for our nation, pray much for law enforcement officers, and pray much for God's grace, for your grace to be poured out upon our government, our leaders, and upon our nation as a whole. And Lord, pour out your grace and mercy and peace and blessing mightily upon the upcoming election. And Lord, let your spirit of your grace and your mercy prevail, accomplishing your perfect will. We love you, Lord. We bless you. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Let me remind you once again, if you'd like to get some of the prayer tools we've been talking about, please do email us at this email, jparker@afa.net. Again, jparker@afa.net. We'd be glad to send them to you. Again, prayer tools that can help you in your individual prayer life, that can help you in your marriage, that can help you in your family, dads and moms with the children. Prayer tools that can help you in your church life and in the church setting of praying with your church as well. Just email us again, jparker@afa.net. Again, jparker@afa.net. We'd be glad to send them to you. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.